Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Thursday morning, May 1st, and it's going to be warm as you would expect it would be, as it has been just about every May 1st. Highs of 86 today. 85 tomorrow, Saturday for Jazz Fest. Not looking too good at all. An 80% chance for showers. And then Sunday, sunny, highs of 79. A little cool front comes through. Good. Keep the temperatures in the lower 80s throughout next week with a chance for showers toward Thursday and Friday. But you know it's coming. The heat is coming, right? I said Matt Shuck earlier. I don't know why I said that. It's Tyler Shuck that ate at Drago's. Somebody texted, and I asked you to text in about the Mid-Barataria sediment diversion. Are you for it or against it? Tommy, we can tell by your advertising and ratings most of your listeners are pro-Trump, but I don't think that's the case at all. Of course, they're going to be against the anti-science and Barataria diversion. And again, that's not really what the text line shows at all. So it's funny how people have their own perceptions of things that may or may not be true. And they believe them. Somebody texted into the Barataria sediment diversion problem started in the early 1900s. So 504-260-1870, that's the Oakland Heart Jeweler text Tommy line, as I've named it. Let me know what you think. I know one thing I do see as far as perception goes, President Trump's cabinet meeting is getting a lot of heat as far as the way I guess people in the cabinet were carrying themselves. And Ann Coulter, who is about as conservative can be, tweeted, would it be possible to have a cabinet meeting without the Kim Jong-il style tributes? And even if you are a President Trump fan, and the only reason I bring this up is because somebody texted that in, if you are a President Trump fan, do you think the cabinet meeting was a little bit over the top with the with the praise of the president, and give me your grade for the president for the first 100 days in office, the economy and everything else? There's some contradictions going on where when he was running, he said the stock market, when he was running, or at least in January, he said the stock market was great because of it was a pro-Trump stock market, even though Biden was president. Then now that he's president, he's saying it was a Biden stock market that he inherited. I asked somebody on the day that Trump was inaugurated, what kind of economy is he inheriting on a scale of 1 to 10? And the answer was an 8. And I just wanted to get a baseline to see from there, leaving the politics out of it, just where does the economy stand? Because the economy is comprised of so many different things. We're talking about, the stock market. You're talking about 401ks. You're talking about prices, inflation, supply chain issues, tariffs, all of that stuff, a lot of different things, salaries, a lot of things, employment comprise the economy. And I asked again what kind of economy he was inheriting, and they said it was an 8. So maybe I'll phrase the question this way, and you can text in, on a scale of 1 to 10, where would you say the economy is now? Because this is a very conservative economist that told me it was an 8 when President Trump took office. So I would ask you, where do you think it is now? And maybe if you think it's a 3, maybe you think you had to go, you got to go back before you can go forward, but maybe you think that you were going forward, so why would you go back anyway? So you can text me, let me know what you think. 620 traffic now, WWL. 24, getting some interesting text about President Trump and the economy and the Mid-Baritaria sediment diversion. I'll share those in a little bit. Bridget Lim joins us now at the National Weather Service, a meteorologist. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine, thank you. How about you?
I'm okay. Let's talk about the weekend forecast and Jazz Fest, and I guess we'll start with today since Jazz Fest starts today.
Yeah, sure. So we do have thunderstorms in the forecast. Like, I don't think it's going to be a washout all day, but it could be like, you know, storm here, storm there. And it
wait, we're talking about Saturday, Bridget, or today?
Oh, sorry, today, but I can talk into tomorrow, too.
No. Let's take it one day at a time. So today we're looking at what?
Yeah, today we do have a chance of rain and thunderstorms. Like I said, I don't think it's going to be a washout, but it could be like a hit and miss situation.
Okay. And what about tomorrow?
For tomorrow, it's going to be a little similar. If anything, I think there's going to be a better chance of rain. We'll have maybe 70 to 80% chance of showers and thunderstorms. So
tomorrow? No, it's not. On Friday?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt. That surprised me. 80%. Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, and then it will be similar again on Saturday.
Mm. And Sunday?
Sunday will be a little better, like maybe about 15, 20%.
And is that in advance of a cool front, or what's going on to cause that?
We're just kind of in a little bit of an unsettled weather period. Like for today, for example, we do have like a small line of thunderstorms coming through, and the boundary kind of gets stuck here, so it kind of gives a focus for storms to fire up.
So if you would say, if you had to give a percentage for rain and thunderstorms today, it would be what?
For today, I'd say like maybe 40%, and that'd be mainly in the afternoon hours.
Mm-hmm. So are we talking about something almost like summertime here, or not really?
Yeah, it is kind of like a summertime pattern.
Okay, except for tomorrow and Saturday, when it's going to be pretty much all day?
Yeah, like it's still going to be a little more hit and miss. Like it's not going to be like one big line of storms. Mm. So in a way, it is similar to summers. So, like I said,
it pops up. It pops up. You get the thunderstorm, it rains, then it clears up.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Okay, and lightning would be a concern here, right?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Bridget. Anything else?
No, just be safe if you're going to be out and about today.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. Bridget Lim, meteorologist with the National Weather Service. So 40% chance for thunderstorms today, mainly afternoon. Newell's going to be out at Jazz Fest from 10 until 1. Hopefully he'll miss that, and hopefully Jazz Fest will miss it. Then tomorrow, an 80% chance for thunderstorms. Hit and miss, as Bridget said. Same for Saturday. And then Sunday, a 20% chance. So that sucks that, you know, you got 2 days of Jazz Fest there with an 80% chance for thunderstorms. 627 now, and I was asking you to text in to the Oakland Art Jeweler text Tommy line at 504-260-1870 about your thoughts on the economy and President Trump and the Mid-Baritaria sediment diversion. Not that those are linked at all, but sediment diversion, it says here, is a much-needed project that this area needs. Saltwater intrusion is killing the root system that is needed to hold land together. Only one opposed is special interest groups like oyster fishermen that line Jeff Landry's pockets. That is a text. That's not my opinion. That's just what somebody said that texted in. Somebody else texted in price of gas, price of eggs, interest rates, availability of homes, all those things are in the economy, not just the stock market. Yeah, that's what I say. There are a lot of different things involved there. Somebody else texted in and said they would give the economy a 4. Somebody else said they would give President Trump a D and the economy a 5. Somebody else texted in, economy is a 6 and going down fast. This texter says, I'd give President Trump a C, the border I'm happy with. Tears, a little worried. I don't know what that means. A voice to text error, obviously. Ukraine, I believe we should still back. The Hezbollah rebels, I think we should flatten. Time will only tell. And yes, I voted for him. I favor, and Gordy Dove, who has long been anti-science, 10 years of sound science and planning went into the Mid-Barataria sediment diversion project. Jeff Landry pulled strings to stop it as a political favor, and Gordy Dove, whom we'll talk to at 9 o'clock, has long been anti-science, is towing the political line, which is contradictory to the mission statement of CPRA. Louisiana will pay for this in the form of coastal marshes. Like your poll, the economy isn't going to be wildly affected by the political leanings of your listeners, who, by the way, are wildly liberal. This is New Orleans, after all. It's interesting because the previous text said that all of our listeners are strongly pro-Trump. Have to wait until late winter, early spring 26, when he's been in office about a year, to let his policies bake in and see what impacts his policies have on the economy. Talking about Trump, 5 to 6, in my opinion, but that's what it was when President Trump took office in January. No, it wasn't an 8. But that's just what the economy said. Trump gets an A-plus for tackling the problems the previous administrations have ignored. WWL gets an F for being the same whiny BS every morning after 6 until Newell Norman takes over. Well, thank you for those kind words. Who gives a toot, says this text, what the stock market is? I really don't think that many people care about that bull hockey. If everybody pulled their weight, it will work out. That's nice to think of. Man closed the alluvial fan of the Mississippi River Delta when we started building levees south of New Orleans in the early 1920s that escaped extend from Cape Girardeau, Missouri, all the way to Venice, Louisiana. We need to fight China, absolutely. And how come we don't plant mangroves like they have in southern Florida? I don't know. 6:30, we'll talk to Mike Strain. We'll come back. Time now for WWL First News. 6:44, 16 till 7. Tommy Tucker, WWL, going to Jazz Fest today. Might want to wear the old shoes. 40% chance for some thunderstorms today, hit or miss. According to Bridget Lim with the National Weather Service, 80% chance for thunderstorms tomorrow, 80% chance on Saturday. So be aware of that and stay safe with the lightning, then a 20% chance for showers on Sunday. Thursday morning, you know what that means. Time to talk to Mike Strain, Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. How you doing, Mike Strain? Dr. Mike Strain?
Man, I am doing excellent. How are you, Tommy?
I am okay. Teddy's doing well, too, because I have a family member recuperating from surgery, and I don't want to...
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Mention names, but where I boarded him, Mike, it would have been cheaper to put him up at the Four Seasons.
Well, that's okay. You know, he had a, you know, I'm sure Teddy had a good time. You know,
well,
yeah. Who do you got spa day today? Going to the clinic for a bath and a toenail trim, and you know, and just a lot of fun day. So you know, we after Hootie has his bath, you know, we use a warm towel to dry Hootie off and everything. So she'll come back smelling more like us and less like Hootie, right?
I've been watching Teddy on a camera where I board him. They have a camera that you can watch, and he's got it better than I do. Let's talk about the legislative session and what's going on as far as your department goes, Mike, and what's going through and what's not.
Right. We're very, very busy legislatively. I was there all day yesterday. We have, you know, some department bills. One is a bill, Senate Bill 32 by Alan, and we're working to use waste stream gypsum. In other words, that is a product that is a waste stream product from industry, and it's calcium sulfate. And so instead of taking and putting this stuff into landfills, we're going to be utilizing it for fertilizer. We're going to test it to make sure there's nothing wrong with it, no heavy metals by different standards. And the reason is our soils are becoming depleted of sulfur. Sulfur is very expensive. And so this is a way to use that product and use it, you know, for agriculture. So that bill is moving through very, very well. And that is Senate Bill 32. Another bill that we're working on is by Representative Kerner. And what we're doing is that we're consolidating seafood testing. Right now, the testing protocols are with the Culture, Recreation, and Tourism through the Seafood Safety Task Force. And then they, by a memorandum dictated by the legislature, the duties are within our agency. So we're straightening that out. That's House Bill 652 by Kerner. And so we're trying to, you know, do things more efficiently. And there's a big focus on seafood, and not only here on the state basis, but also on a national basis. And that's, you know, fun and exciting. I think we, you know, people are waking up to the fact that we have the finest seafood in the whole wide world, and that, you know, we need to celebrate that, but we also need to consume it. We need to make sure that our seafood is safe, and we need to grow our industry. It's a huge part of our culture. So we're going to be working very hard, specifically, you know, with the shrimp industry, the crawfish industry, and also, you know, the crabs, oysters, everything. And so that's an exciting part of what's going on. And, you know, you and I, we celebrate seafood, and it's a great thing. But, you know, 90% of the seafood coming into the United States is imported. So we have a huge potential market for all of our Louisiana products. And we want to make sure it's the finest and the safest it can be. So that is going through. Yesterday, we had a meeting of the House Agriculture Committee, and we had some resolutions going through. And I was working with Representative Chuck Owen on a resolution where we're going to be looking at our small slaughter facilities across the state. And by next year, we're going to have a report together how we can help them grow to better serve the needs of the public. We don't have enough small custom slaughterhouses. And the other thing you've seen, if you've seen the price of beef yesterday, the price of beef is at an all-time high at the farm level. And it's escalating rapidly. And so we're trying to figure out a way that we can keep more of our local beef here in the state, just like our local seafoods, but local meat products and others. So we're going to be working with that moving forward. And then there's a host of bills that we are involved in by request of the legislature. So we have the solar bills that are going through, and that's Representative Guyman and Representative Coates. And what those are going to do is going to charge my department with making determinations on the feasibility of where to locate these solar entities and looking at the variable choices they may have as to what type of land they use. In other words, if they're located in an area and it's only high-valued farmland, is there a viable alternative? And then to set a mitigation value, just like you mitigate for wetlands. And that is going to be a very big responsibility of our agency. So a number of those bills are moving through as well. So it's a busy session. And then if you put on top of that, we're not directly involved in it, but there are more than 200, and I think closer to 240 insurance bills, different insurance bills going through. So the House Natural Resources Committee started Tuesday actually, at 9:30 a.m., and they didn't finish till 10:15 p.m., the committee hearing. And so, so there's a lot going on in long days, but that's important. And, you know, the thing of it is that we really want all of our citizens, they can come down and testify in committee and can be there and be part of the process and watch the process live as it's going on. Just go and watch on the website at legis.la.gov.
Mike, that solar thing is interesting because it doesn't necessarily have to be either or, but it's silly to eat up farmland with solar panels when they could be somewhere else where you can't grow anything. I mean, that's just common sense, right?
It is, but the thing about a solar field of solar panels is that it's generally what we say X marks the spot. So it's got to be in ready access to the grid. That's the big deal. It's got to be where the power lines are, because running power lines to a solar facility that is not close by is extraordinarily expensive. That's why you don't see it out, you know, far away from, quote, any, quote, civilization out there on marginal land. But there's got to be a way not to take prime farmland. And because a part of that, if you take a significant amount of prime farmland, for instance, sugarcane land, if you lose 10,000 acres of land, you could lose the mill. You lose the mill. The other farmers that haul to that mill, now they've got a huge problem. So there's more in consideration. Plus, if you look at what the amount of money that sugarcane brings in per acre, which is over $3,000 per acre per year, and that circulates in that community. Once you put that solar field in there, that solar field is going to have one job on that, you know, there. And, of course, those dollars, those income generated, it's not locally in that parish. So it really can have a negative impact on the economy. But if you're looking, we need to put it on marginal land, marginal, non-productive land wherever possible, and look for different innovative ways, you know, old abandoned parking lots, you know, that sort of thing. And really take a need to take a hard, hard look at what we're doing.
Mike, I got a text here about the farm bill, and, you know, I'm thinking about timing is everything. And you look at President Trump and the executive orders, and you look at Steve Scalise and the position that he has, Mike Johnson, the position that he has. Are they doing everything they can to maybe see what can be done with executive orders that would help Louisiana and farmers and those kind of things? You see where I'm going with that?
Yes, they are. They are using executive orders and directives, but it's in a patchwork mechanism. You know, the farm bill should have been passed 2 years ago. I'm going to repeat that, 2 years ago. So an entire Congress before, and now with the new Congress, it starts over fresh and anew. Congress is not a continuous body. Every 2 years, when the new Congress goes in, everything starts, quote, from scratch. So you could have been ready for the last vote on the last day to send it to the president for signature, and Congress goes, quote, out of session after the 2 years. You got to start back in committee. And so now, you know, there's discussion, you know, that, oh, we'll have it by November. And then the other part you hear that, no, we're going to break it up in piecemeal and put pieces of the farm bill in the continuing resolutions. They need to get it done. They need to get the whole farm bill done so that we have certainty. It needs to be upgraded to reflect modern practices. And, you know, I talked to them and said, you got to get this thing over the finish line. Mm-hmm. But there just doesn't seem to be the will in Washington to pass an intact farm bill. And part of that is there is a battle line drawn on the farm bill between what we call the farm programs, the commodity section, which is about 15%, that's right, 15% of the farm bill, and the nutrition or the SNAP, or what you used to call food stamp program, which is up to 85% of that. And that's where the lines in the sand are, and that's where they can't come to the agreements. And so the farm bill lingers because it's trapped. And, you know, I've been an advocate of years. Look, let's separate the two. Look, let's get it done. We can pass the commodity section. But there are many entities that said, no, we're afraid not to do that because we won't get enough support. But at the end of the day, we need to pass that farm bill. And I do think that we're probably going to have it for a vote. To think that it's going to happen in November, I don't think so. Probably after the first of next year. But we don't want this thing to wait and go through a second Congress and not be passed. And so we need to push it on. There's a lot of important things in there. You know, the crop insurance is there. The research portion is there. The funding and mechanisms for conservation through the NRCS service, and a lot of that is in limbo right now. And, you know, we have decreased funding for conservation to the fact that conservation agents have been notified that, look, I'm sorry, you're getting laid off because there's no funding for conservation. So there's some issues there that we need to address.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate your time as always. Dr. Mike Strang, Commissioner, Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry, 655, 5 till 7, traffic now, WWL.